So, thank you for being here and encouraging me by singing. I have loved the songs. It's been awesome. The scriptures, the prayers. It really does move our hearts. It's interesting. The only verse in the New Testament that I know of that says you need to come together when the church is there does not talk about worshiping God. That talks about singing. We come to encourage each other and do it even more so the rougher we see the days and the badder we think things are getting. So we worship God because that's extremely natural for the church to do together, but we could be worshiping out all by ourselves out by the lake. And we do that some in the summer. We do love to vacation and go, you know, I do too. But the reason that we came together was because we're concerned about each other and want each other to do well. So I just give you thanks for your singing this morning. It has really, really lifted my heart. Bow with me in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, as you have been with us, continue to be with us. Bless the words of my mouth. Bless the meditations of all of our hearts. Father, you are our rock solid God, and so we come to you in prayer, and we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus, and all of us say, amen. Amen. So, you're talking about joy in life and gratitude for chances to give. Let me tell you something I'm grateful for. I love YouTube. It's awesome. So I buy a brand new pistol and I go on YouTube and I don't go to some generic how do you clean your pistol video. I go to a video of a man with the exact same pistol who takes it apart, cleans it, puts it back together again. I love that. I needed to change the inside of my toilet. I don't even know what's in there. I went onto YouTube. I found out what's in there. I found out where I could buy it, and I changed it, all thanks to YouTube. I like to cook a steak on the stove. I can't do it often, but on YouTube, I got one of the best chefs in the entire world, Gordon Ramsay, to teach me how to cook my steak on a stovetop. As soon as Karen and I got really into camping a lot and overlanding, I went on all the videos that talked about here's what you need, here's what you need to carry, here's what you shouldn't do. I saw tons of videos that said top 10 mistakes when going out in the woods, and learned from all of that stuff how to do airbrushing, how to do anything. You can find it on YouTube. And it made me think, boy, I wish God had a LifeTube channel. Wouldn't that be awesome? You could go to him with any question, anything you wanted to do. How can I live a happy life? How can I make decisions? And God would tell you about your exact place in life. Wouldn't it be great if he included famous people on the LifeTube channel, like Gordon Ramsay? Well, maybe not on the LifeTube. People that have been really, really famous and could say, top 10 mistakes I've made in my spiritual life. Number one, don't go on your roof and watch women bathe. Bad for your spiritual life, a rookie mistake. Don't do that. And you know, it would be awesome. Wouldn't it be awesome? Even if God were so old-fashioned that he put all of that stuff in a book instead of a LifeTube channel. Would you stand, please, for the reading of God's word? Galatians 6, verse 1. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself, or you may also be tempted. carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else, for each one should carry his own load. Please be seated. Okay, the longer I live, the less I like religious words. So I do have a prayer book in the back. If you want to write a prayer request in that, I pray over those requests that are there. But when I'm by myself, I don't think of the word prayer anymore. Prayer is a religious duty. If you're religious, you need to pray. And so sometimes I would do it, and sometimes I would forget, and sometimes I would be busy. So I don't like prayer. I don't like the religious duty. I like talking to God. I talk to Karen every day. I talk to you guys. How about if I spend some time just talking to my Heavenly Father? And that's something I don't want to skip. I might skip prayer, but I'm not going to skip talking to my God. And it's the same way with the Bible. All my life, I've heard people say, read your Bible. And I thought, okay, if you're going to be religious, you got to read your Bible. But the longer I live, the more I see the Bible as life tube. Here is my God talking to me. I said, I like talking to him. He likes talking to me. And he has given me his word, and he has told me how to have a happy life. And it occurs to me that I've never just stood up and said, here are my favorite scriptures that help me to be happy. And I thought I might just share three or four of those with you this morning. Now, keep in mind, of course, what the ultimate happiness is. I have told you before about a survey I saw that said the two sentences people most want to hear from somebody else, I love you, I forgive you. That is the ultimate message of the scriptures. Our God loves us, and through Jesus Christ, our God forgives us. And heaven is a reward that is so far beyond anything we can imagine that it is ultimate. But if God is our creator, and he is, and if God is our father, and he is, he's going to tell us how to be happy. So if you'll let me, we'll just run through this. Three or four scriptures that actually help me to live my life. And the first one that we read because it's two in one. You actually get two for the same price in Galatians chapter 6. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. Okay, now let me be clear here at the beginning. I don't do any of these perfectly, these things that make me happier. But let me tell you, God has graced me with that one, maybe more than others. And he needed to, because I have stood right here for a long, long time, many decades. And now some young whippersnapper is up here doing what I used to do. And if you've ever wondered how I feel about that, I love it. Not just because I get to take a little break, I don't have to preach as often, but I do it because God is finally getting it into my head. Take some pride in what you do. Just don't compare yourself with other people. Wow, that verse has tremendously helped me. If an angel came down from heaven right now, and I'm serious, this is the truth. If an angel from heaven came down right now and said, I'll tell you who's the better preacher, you or Joshua, I would not let him do so. I don't care. I don't want to know. If he says, I'm a better preacher, that can lead to the wrong kind of pride. If he says, I'm the worst preacher, you know me and how much I tend to beat up myself. If he told me I was worse, that would hurt. And if he told me we were the same, I'd be thinking, you know, angels have a lot to do. They're busy. They're serving God. Why would he come down from heaven just to tell us we're the same? The Bible says if you want to be happy, just do what you can do with the grace of God and be happy with that and never compare yourself with anyone else. We live in the age of competition. Our sports, our jobs, everything we do, we compete. God says, you want to be happy? Don't compete so much. Just do what you can do and be faithful. That will help you to be happy. And there's a second one in this verse. Did you catch it? He says, carry each other's burdens, for each should carry his own load. Now, you talk about not having it perfect. It's there. I cannot draw you a black and white line, and I think there have been so many times I haven't gotten this straight. But here's what he says. He says, okay, Christians, you're servants, right? That's your mindset. I'm going to help other people. And he says, listen, if you want to be like Christ, if you want to be like me, you need to carry each other's burdens, but you need to let other people carry their own loads. Let's go to that wonderful Greek that just helps us to flesh out the picture. The word burden there is the word for what would happen like if a rock rolled off of a mountain and landed on my back and crushed me flat, and you saw me laying there in the street face down and I couldn't move because this huge rock is on me. That's a burden. Carry each other's burdens. The load is a word that actually comes from the job market. It is a word sailors would use. Here is a bunch of stuff that needs to be on that ship. Us sailors each have a job to take our load. We're getting paid to do this job, right? And carry that load into the ship. And if you have a job to do and you're not doing it, then I may just let you go until it hurts enough that you start doing your own job. One example. So a burden. I got a call from my daughter, Christy. I'm sitting on the couch. I'm watching TV. Might have been YouTube. Anyway, I'm watching TV and I'm really happy and I'm really comfortable. And Christy says, Savannah and Samuel, her two children, my grandchildren, are here with me on their bikes. And I stepped off of my bike in the ditch, and I may have broken my foot. And I can't take them home. And the three of us are here in a ditch with our bikes. I thought to myself, that's a burden. Instantly, you drop what you're doing, no matter how comfortable I am, and I go and I pick them up and I get them home and then get them to the doctor's so the doctor can see about Christy's foot. Carry each other's burdens. When you see someone getting overwhelmed, someone needing help, help them. But don't carry other people's loads. So let's say, for example, here I am sitting comfortably in my house again. I'm watching TV. And someone calls me 7:30 at night and says, Rick, my car is in the shop and I am really wanting to eat a sandwich and I need you to drive me to the grocery store to get some food. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm comfortable. It's 7:30. I'm home with my wife. I actually would ask you a question or two. Wow, you want some bread so you can make a sandwich? When did your car go in the shop? Oh, well, I put it in the shop yesterday. And I'm thinking, part of your job might have been to call me earlier than 7:30 at night to get you some food. Do you have food at the house? Oh, yeah, I've got plenty of food, but I'm really craving a sandwich. The answer from my heart would be, you know, tomorrow about 11 o'clock, I'm not doing anything. So I'll tell you what, why don't I pick you up tomorrow at 11 o'clock? Your car's in the shop, and we'll go grocery shopping. You make a list of everything you need to buy in the store so we can just make one trip, and we will go. I'm going to carry your burden, but I'm not going to carry your load. Even if I can't have a sandwich tonight? Even if you can't have a sandwich tonight. So, are you ready for another one? Here we go. James 1:19. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. That verse has really been in my heart for a long time. You've heard me preach on that verse a lot. You need to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Have you ever wondered why he throws angry in with listening? Why would he say, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry? Because anger raises our drawbridge. I have sat in this building before, and I've had people come to me and say, you know, I'd like to tell you what's wrong with the church. Up goes my drawbridge. And it is hard to listen to you, and I, by God's grace, when I could, I would lower that drawbridge and listen to you. Why? Because as soon as you say, what's wrong with the church? Well, of course that's going to make me a little angry. Do you know what my job is? Do you know the people that I love and you want to come tell me what's wrong? But I need to listen, and so we've got to force that drawbridge closed, because boy, it comes up so fast. There was a day that Jesus and Peter were off talking by themselves, because Peter wanted that. He'd taken Jesus, taken him aside, and Jesus says to him as a second sentence, you know, Peter, you're not thinking in a godly way. You have in your mind the things of men and not the things of God. Now, Jesus said that because he knew there would be a time Peter would remember that. He said that because it needed to be in our scripture. But I want to promise you that if Peter was a human being, he did not hear Jesus say that sentence. Because if you remember the situation, do you remember what was the first thing Jesus said to Peter in that situation? That was the case. Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan, for you are a stumbling block to me. I guarantee you, Peter didn't hear him say anything else. I'm a stumbling block. Don't you know who I follow? Don't you know the sacrifices I've made? Oh, life goes so well if we can just lower the drawbridge. In fact, Joshua and Kia have been urging us to be hospitable this year. I think that's the number one way to be hospitable, is to be able to listen to other people. And this verse has helped me, although I do not do it perfectly. It has helped me to at least try to get that drawbridge down, because then wonderful communication can happen. True story, and I'm not exaggerating because I had to watch my time. True story, I walked into one hospital room. There's a guy laying in the bed. I've never met him. And I'm already thinking, you know, I need to have my weight on my back foot. This guy is hurting, may have just heard horrible news. If he doesn't want to talk to me, I need to leave the room. So I come in, hi, I'm Rick. I'm one of the volunteer hospital chaplains, and I just came to see if there's anything I could do for you. He raises his arm, he points at me, and he yells. He does not speak. He yells, I do not want to talk to a chaplain. And I said, I understand. And I turned like this, and he said, and do you want to know why I don't want to talk to a chaplain? And I thought, yeah, I'd like to know. I came over, I sat by his bedside, I am not exaggerating, literally 2 hours later, I said, sir, I've got other rooms to go to and I need to leave. Hospitality and listening can happen if we can just keep that drawbridge down. So that will make us a hospitable people. And one more. Oh, actually there's two more. Hey, you're in luck. This one next. There's a verse in the New Testament that tells about Jesus being with his brothers. And remember, before Jesus' crucifixion, his brothers did not believe in him. They did not think he was the Messiah. They're getting ready to go up to one of the Jewish feasts in Jerusalem. And they say to Jesus, who is not making any effort to go to the feast, they say to him, "Hey, don't you want to be famous? Don't you know what famous people do? You need to go to the feast. You need to show yourself off to all of these people." And Jesus replies to them, and we always have to be careful. When Jesus is talking to someone else, we have to figure out what's being said and interpret that for how it might affect our lives. But a couple of years ago, I was reading that verse, and I promise you, the Holy Spirit put my name in that verse. What does Jesus tell his brothers? John 7 and verse 6. "The right time for me has not yet come. Rick, for you, any time is right." And I thought, whoa. Jesus was telling his brothers, "I'm following a timetable. I am following my God. And the problem with you is, any time is right for you." And I immediately, boy, I heard that. I mean, it slapped me upside the face, and I thought, that's the problem with my prayer life. When I pray for something, any time's right. Mainly now. Here's what I want, Heavenly Father, and here's what I want now. And I could just picture God saying to me, "Rick, any time for you is right. For me, the time has not yet come to give you what you want." Patience. If you want to have a happy life, if you want to pray with faith, you have to pray with some patience. Our God loves us. Our God is our Heavenly Father. Our God does give us good gifts, but he's going to give us to us at the right time. And the right time is not always right now. And I say that being aware, I mean, I've heard some of the prayer requests. Sometimes I and sometimes we have an extremely strong request for God. And we think we have got to get this right now. And God says, "Oh, I know how you feel." I think it brings God to tears. I really do. But God says, "I've got to wait because I want to give it to you at the right time." Someone once gave an illustration. I didn't make this up, but I like it. He said, it's like God and us have gears that are meshed, except God's gears are metal and ours are plastic. So if we keep fighting God on time and if we're not patient, guess which of those two gears is going to start breaking and cracking? The metal gears or the plastic gears? If you want to be happy, trust your God. He is a loving Father, and he does answer prayer. But sometimes he answers it at the really best time, which we don't catch. And so, with that, let me bring you back to Galatians chapter 6. I said there were two there. There was another half that points me to this. And when I read this, oh, I felt so good. Are you ready? Here we go. This is the one I'm closing with. Hebrews 3, verse 1. "Therefore, holy brothers, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confess. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house." I read that verse and I thought, whoa, Moses leads some 2 million people out of slavery marches through the Red Sea on dry ground, speaks to a rock, one time hits the rock, water comes out of the desert for 2 million people. And you know how the Hebrew writer summarizes Moses' life? He just says, Moses was just faithful in God's house. Well, how would you summarize Jesus' life? Jesus coming to this earth and living for us and then dying for us. How would you summarize Jesus' life in one sentence? He was faithful to his Father. And I have got to tell you, it's not always hard to lay aside that competition. You always want to do better and be better. And I suddenly thought, I can be like Moses. We're not going to compare ourselves to Moses, but we are going to look to his example. I can be like Moses. I can be like Jesus. What did they do? Listen. This is so important and it makes you so happy. All Jesus did on this earth was simply take what they had and who they were and live faithfully before God. That's it. If you take what you have and who you are and just live faithfully before God, you're like Moses. You're like Jesus. And I can't do anything perfectly, but I can just try and be loyal. I actually had a conversation with Rosalind earlier this week, and we were talking about loyalty and how companies sometimes this day don't seem to be loyal to their customers. Loyalty is a big deal. And if we'll take what we have and who we are and just be faithful before God, one day our God is going to say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Let's stand, let's sing.